Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University, Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese, and economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. So today, I'm very excited. We are joined by George Swift. When you think of economic development in Southwest Louisiana, George Swift is usually the first name that's mentioned. Swift is the founding president and CEO of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. This organization combines the Chamber Southwest and the Alliance Foundation, the economic development organization for the region, all five parishes. George has over 40 years of experience in sales, marketing, and management in the radio broadcasting business and is involved in many community organizations. Under his direction, the Alliance has been recognized four times in recent years as a top 10 economic development group in the nation by Site Selection magazine. The Chamber Southwest Louisiana has attained five-star accreditation, which is the highest possible rating. He was also awarded an honorary degree, Doctor of Humane Letters, by McNeese in 2016 for his work in regional economic development and catalyst for establishment of the Seed Center, where we are recording this. He's originally from Selma, Alabama, and George and his family moved to Lake Charles in 1987, and he was in the radio broadcasting business until he moved into economic development. And I've also had the pleasure of working with George for the past 5 years or so. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on. With this podcast, we try to keep it short so people can listen very quickly on a drive or something, but I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So I don't care if we take a little bit longer because you've seen so much and there's so much I want to ask, and I hope the audience will forgive me if this goes over. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Dr. Groft, and it's Dr. Swift to you.
I know. Okay. I call you Dr. Swift.
Well, people do that to make fun of me, but anyway, I was very honored to get the honorary degree from McNeese, which is the only college degree that I have, by the way, and I've tried to use that. But anyway, it's good to be with you.
No, it's great to be here, and thank you, Dr. Swift. I appreciate it.
Enough of that.
But I have emailed you that. I've emailed you like Dr. Swift.
And okay.
Like,
nah.
Well, I know you're from Alabama, but can you give a little bit of your background and profession before getting into economic development? I mentioned radio, but like, can you give us like how did you get into economic development?
Well, first, I'm from Selma, Alabama, which is the civil rights capital of the nation, and I grew up in a time when there was amazing social change with the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, the Voting Rights Act in 1965, as a result of the Selma to Montgomery March and the beating on the Edmund Pettus Bridge that I'm sure everybody has seen 100 times, and it really revolutionized the African Americans because they could vote after the Voting Act passed. And so that changed a lot of things. But I got to witness that firsthand. I was hanging around the radio station from about 12 years old. And at 14, the owner of the station asked me, he said, could you work Sunday? And I said, me? And he said, yeah, you've been here. You know how to do everything. So I started in radio at 14. And then when the civil rights activity came through, I was in high school, and a lot of the national media were there, and they needed somebody to take them around and introduce them to people, and I got to do that, and it was just quite an interesting time to watch things develop in the nation.
Then how did you get from radio to...
Okay, well, then I got in the broadcasting business full-time, and the company I was working with in Selma bought the radio stations in Lake Charles, and I was asked to be the regional manager. And after traveling back and forth and the local manager left, I chose to come here. And we have just loved Southwest Louisiana, and ever since I've been here, feel like it's got a lot of potential. And I've always been involved. I was on the Selma City Council. I was on the Chamber Board in Selma. And then when I got here, I was on the Chamber Board. I was on the Chenault Board. And I've always had an interest in economic development. Well, former Mayor Randy Roach formed the Southwest Louisiana Partnership, which was the elected officials in the five parishes of Allen, Beauregard, Calcasieu, Cameron, and Jeff Davis in Louisiana. And so for the first time, the local elected officials really got to meet each other and talk about common needs. And so they wanted to hire someone to run the partnership. I applied and was hired, and that was in 2004. Well, just as we were getting things going, Hurricane Rita hit in 2005, and we had to shift to a recovery mode. And I helped the parish with that. And one of the things you did at that time was have public hearings for FEMA to see what would be sustainable projects for the area. And one of the things we came up with was a business incubator. Lake Charles area was the last major area in the state to have a business incubator. So we began working on that, and we did not have any funding, but as a result of the recovery funds from Hurricane Rita, the city and Calcasieu Parish police jury put up about $7 million for what is now the Seed Center. The chamber sold our building downtown, and McNeese University furnished the property, and we were still short, so we got a grant from the Economic Development Administration, EDA, and we were able to build the Seed Center debt-free.
Wow.
Which it would be hard to do today, but it's been a very used facility, and we have a lot of different things here in the Seed Center, including the business incubator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when it was being built. When was it completed? 14?
Yeah, we've been in here 11 years, and so it was completed in 2013. And ever since then, like I said, we've had hundreds and hundreds of meetings of business organizations here. We've had, of course, a lot of the chamber events, and we've had a lot of prospects come here, and they've always been impressed with the facility. And now, of course, last year, the president of McNeese and the provost and the finance officer moved in on the first floor. So we are truly a one-stop center for economic development as well as McNeese administration.
And I have to make a quick correction. The finance officer is now at Smith Hall. She was here temporarily.
Oh,
now the dean of or the vice president of student affairs, he's downstairs.
Oh, okay.
But she was here for a little while.
Okay.
I'm glad you talked about the Seed Center. Real quick, how long were you at the old location downtown?
Well, we were there at the other building until about 2011. And we sold the building on Pugil Street and temporarily moved to the Magnolia Building, which was owned by the parish, and were there until the Seed Center was completed.
Oh, okay. Did you ever do any DJing or anything? Because your voice is better than mine.
No, you should be... with my Alabama accent, when I was in Selma, I sounded normal, and so it wasn't that big a deal. But, yeah, I started out disc jockeying at 14 and did a morning show for many years and until I ran for the city council and was elected. And prior to that, I did a telephone talk show in Selma, which was always interesting.
Oh, boy.
And, in a small town, you have about 7 or 8 regulars that call every time.
But to say the same callers.
And, yeah. And so you know them and you slip up and call them by name and that kind of thing.
Well, you've kind of talked about it. I said, how did you come into the position of economic development head in Calcasieu Lake Charles? But can you also tell the audience a little bit more about the economic development organization? Like, what does it do in terms of business attraction, retention, lobbying, working with legislators, everything together?
Well, the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance is the umbrella organization for the Chamber Southwest and the Economic Development Foundation. And we have an executive committee that's the same for both organizations, so it works real well. But the chamber has certain things that they do for their members. It's a business organization. We have close to 1,200 members, small, medium, and large businesses. And we do things such as our public policy agenda. We have a very active government affairs and public policy committee, and we set our agenda. It's approved by the board. And we have government affairs folks that when the legislature's in session, we're representing our members. We also do a lot of community development programs and things that serve our members. And one of the things that we do, and sometimes people laugh at this, is we go to a lot of ribbon cuttings and grand openings. We have had about 150 new businesses open in our area in the last couple of years, which is amazing. And we want to welcome them. They make an investment in our area, and you want to, you know, greet them and recognize them and give them some publicity. So we do that, and we take great pride in having new businesses open here. On the foundation side, that's where we do economic development. Some areas have a property tax to fund that. We have to go out and get our own investors. We have public and private funding on the economic development side, and that is where we focus on workforce and education programs, working very closely with the area parish school systems, McNeese and Sewella, and to be sure that the educational institutions are teaching what business and industry need. We also have a quality of life task force. It's very important that we improve the appearance of the area. You know, litter is a huge problem. We've joined with Keep Louisiana Beautiful to try to get businesses to clean up their own space and to keep it clean. We've made some progress, but we've got a lot to go. We also advocate for infrastructure. And one of the big things that really we did through the chamber is we appointed a task force back in 2007 to work on getting a new I-10 bridge, which had been talked about for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Nothing was happening on it. And so the task force looked at every angle to finance it. And this was before the Infrastructure Act was passed, and the state had no money. So they came up with the plan that the only way it could be built would be with a toll. Well, after some delay, when President Trump came to Hackberry for the grand opening of the Sempra project, remember he said if he's reelected, he'll build the bridge. Well, everybody at that time said, we don't need a toll. Trump's going to build the bridge. Well, Trump did not get elected that time, and so it went on, and we floundered again. But Governor John Bel Edwards was able to put some money up for the first time, and then Secretary of Transportation Sean Wilson led the effort, and we got everything ready to go, and it was held up by the legislature at the end of John Bel Edwards' term. But Governor Landry came in, renegotiated the contract, and decided to move forward with it, and he announced that at the annual chamber banquet in 2024, in January of 2024. So the contracts have been signed, things are moving forward. It's going to take 5 to 6 years to build the bridge, and it will be a very low toll, maybe 25 cents a car, so nobody needs to worry about the toll for a few years. But we need a lower, safer, wider bridge with turnoff lanes and lights. People are terrified to go over the current bridge, even though it's structurally sound, according to the state. And if it were not, they would shut it down. So I think that's a major thing that the chamber has accomplished. And then the big thing, of course, is working with existing industry to be sure they're taken care of and that they have what they need to be successful here. And then we spend the bulk of our time recruiting new industry to the area. And that is done by marketing, online, print media, contact with site selectors, working with the State Department of Economic Development, and with contacts that we talk to on our own. So we've been very successful in a lot of major projects through the years. And people say, well, you know, why do you go after just the industry? Well, an industrial job, say like at Sasol, will put about 7 or 8 other jobs in the community. And by that, they may have like medical services to service the number of employees, or restaurants, or insurance companies, or car dealers sell more vehicles. You know, it's a spinover effect. And so that's why there are incentives to attract industry. And people say, well, why don't we have incentives for small businesses? Well, it should, but it's kind of hard to do that. So the thinking has been through many years, over 50 years, that the industrial tax exemptions will get industry to locate here. They create jobs and spin off in the community. That's one of the things that people misunderstand, and one of the things that drives us nuts is people say, you're taking money from the schools when you give the tax exemptions. Well, look, if we don't get the projects, you get nothing.
Yeah.
And then when you get the project, there is a period of time that the property tax for the industry is exempted, 5 to 10 years, usually 10 years. But under rules that Governor Edwards changed, 20% is now paid. It's only 80% of the property tax is forgiven. It was at one time 100%. So that's better for the local governments to get some money up front. And then when these projects go off the tax rolls, they get a lot of tax revenue, which allows us to have police and fire protection, roads, water, sewer systems, things that we take for granted.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the whole ITEP debate is, especially around here, we are very close to Texas.
Absolutely.
You know, that is different than maybe if you're in Baton Rouge or, you know, so here, I was looking at your article today. Yeah, that is, around here, it's extremely important, especially due because we're so close to a behemoth, I guess.
Right.
A good way
well,
to put
Texas
it.
Has almost more projects than all the other states put together.
Right.
That's our biggest competitor. And people also say, well, you know, these industries will come here anyway. Well, we have the port, we have pipelines, we're receptive to industry, but you can say the same thing about Texas.
Absolutely.
And so it's a competitive thing, and I firmly believe this, that without the ITEP incentives, we would not be competitive, and so that's vital to keep that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sticking with the chamber a little bit. It's won many awards throughout the years, and you've seen a lot of changes, but what are some of the biggest events, project wins, awards, or what sticks out in your mind before we get to the general economy with respect to the chamber over your time?
Well, the advocacy for the I-10 bridge, obviously, is the number one thing. Going back through the history, and I was not here then, but the chamber was instrumental in getting the ship channel dug back in the 1920s. It also was instrumental in getting a junior college here, which became McNeese. So the chamber has
thanks
a good record
chamber.
Of doing things right. Now, today, one of the things that we work on, of course, are legislative issues, and the state has been under the administration of Governor Landry and the legislature. They have done some things to lower the tax rates and hopefully make Louisiana more business-friendly. Our taxes have not been too high in Louisiana, but they are very convoluted because you have exemptions. And if you look at it just on the surface, it looks like the taxes are high, but by the time you do the exemptions and all of that, we're very competitive. But they're going to make it where it's easier to understand, and there will be a constitutional amendment in March that is part of this, and we'll have to look at that and let people decide if they want to further improve, or we don't want to keep the status quo. That has not worked very well.
Yeah, if you're a site selection consultant and you're just looking and you see income tax, franchise tax, everything for a business, and then, you know, you might just skip over it rather than getting the explanation, no, you have this credit, this exemption,
right,
you know,
right. It's not as transparent as it takes a little while.
Yeah, you can't.
It takes an economist like you to understand it.
You can't really shove up a tax foundation study like, no, actually, look at the BERT, you know,
right.
It's like, you got to get this done. Just real quick, is it true? I mean, the Legislature is like one of the biggest events in the state, right? Or the annual banquet. I was reading something. It used to be in like a small room, and now it's taken up the whole LaBerge. Like, events like that have really grown over the years, right?
Right. Well, I think the first legislature we had about 100 people, and we have grown that, and we were meeting at the Civic Center, and then we outgrew that. And then when the casinos opened, we shifted over to LaBerge, and that's when it really became a great statewide event. We have 40 or 50 legislators from around the state, not just our local delegation, come. We have usually most all of the congressmen, U.S. senators, and the governors come, and that has become a real networking event for the entire state. And it gets a lot of people to Lake Charles that may not normally come. And before the casinos were here, it was very hard to get any meetings or conferences in Lake Charles, and nobody wanted to come to Lake Charles. Now they want to come to Lake Charles, and so they have facilities that can accommodate them, and that has been a huge change through the years to the impact that the gaming has had on our area, not only in employing people, but having the facilities to accommodate statewide conferences and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've had event or meetings, I should say, and people still stay in the casinos. Like if I have a meeting here at the Seed Center, it is a draw. And that kind of leads into my next question, because I didn't even put gaming here in my notes. I should have. Have you seen the Southwest Louisiana change over time as a director? You know, I mean, you mentioned gaming, and that's a huge change, but you've been here through Rita, Laura, Delta, COVID. Like, have you ever seen, like, what have you seen that sticks in your mind, major economic changes?
Well, we've always had an industrial base here that began really in World War II with the industries, and we have about 25 what we call petrochemical companies here, and that has been the foundation of our area. But we have seen significant growth in the medical community, our hospitals and physicians. I mean, if you look back even 10 years ago, the number of physicians that are here now and the specialties that are here are tremendous. In fact, I think, and you can shoot me down if I'm wrong, but I believe there are more people employed in the medical sector than industry as of right now, or there were a year or two ago. And you think about it. So the medical community has grown. The petrochemical companies have expanded. But the LNG industry really put Southwest Louisiana on the map. And Cheniere Energy and Johnson Bayou was the first one to export worldwide. And now we have Sempra, we have Venture Global that are exporting, and we have several others that are in the process of getting underway. And so the LNG industry has really put the area on the worldwide map. Normally, I remember many years ago, we'd go make calls in Chicago or where we were, and we had to take a map to show folks where Lake Charles was. Now they know where we are and what we have going. And also with the LNG, the LNG Center of Excellence is being built here at McNeese State University. That's going to further establish this industry here in Southwest Louisiana. And then, of course, we have aviation. We've had very fortunate to have Northrop Grumman out at Chenault and other companies there. And we also are very fortunate to have Lake Charles Regional Airport with air service to Houston on United and to Dallas on American. And for this size market, we have good air service, and there could not be a more convenient airport to fly in and out of than Lake Charles Regional. And so we also don't want to forget the foundation of this area, which is rice and timber. So ag and forestry are still very important, and it's brought things like Bayou Rum at Lacassine, which has been purchased by Stoli. It's now worldwide distributed. They're doing a big expansion at Lacassine, and they're going to be able to increase their capacity and production. And they're also going to start distilling Stoli vodka there. So, I mean, and that's based on Louisiana agricultural products. We have a new state-of-the-art lumber mill, sawmill in DeRidder, Canfor. That came as a result of the timber industry. So we really are a diversified region, and people say we need to diversify. Well, you can always diversify, but there are very few places that have the diversity that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think our economy kind of stays the same. If the nation goes very high, the economy, we kind of stay the same. If they fall down, we kind of stay the same. Mm-hmm. And the industrial base that we have gives us the ability to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you brought up projects in Jeff Davis and Beauregard. This is really a regional organization. It's the five parish, and things in Cameron, obviously. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that.
Well, Cameron, of course, is leading the nation. If you took just Cameron Parish with the LNG facilities, they're the exporting capital. But, you know, when you...
And they're building LNG plants in Texas, too. That's going back to our former thing.
Yeah, we're not the only place that has that.
So the competition is definitely...
And you mentioned the regional thing, Dan. It's very important that our region of Southwest Louisiana, which is about 310,000 people, stick together. And sometimes it's not easy to think regionally and act regionally. You know, some people want to focus on just their own community or just their own parish, but it does not work that way. An industry, first of all, the most important thing they're looking for now is a workforce. Do you have a workforce that would support our industry? And then, of course, they want a site that meets their requirements. But I think there's more emphasis now on workforce than there are sites. You can find a site anywhere in the country, but can you find the workforce? Now, some things need to be located on the ship channel, and, you know, there's a reason they come to Southwest Louisiana because of that. We've got clean energy looking forward, trying to get solar farms. We just had a bad experience with a solar farm that residents opposed. And to me, there's nothing any more benign than a solar farm. You know, solar panel, it doesn't cause any traffic. It doesn't cause any pollution. It doesn't cause any noise, but it generates energy. And so I think when we turn our back to things like that, we're limiting our region's potential because the energy business is going to change and move away from traditional industry. And look, the refineries and all that, they know that, and they are making adjustments and retooling and doing what they need to do. So we should not close the door on clean energy things like solar farms. You're going to have the wind industry coming in offshore, and those kind of things will help diversify our energy sector.
And also talking about the environment, I mean, almost every new project has a carbon capture component, or there's even a new project that's direct, or new projects throughout the state, direct air carbon capture. So the energy industry is going to change into the future. It's just, how are we going to be a part of that? And we have to be receptive to it.
Right, we have to be receptive.
Absolutely. Well, since this is an economics podcast, I'm going to phrase this question a little different to you, as this to everybody. I always say, where do you think the Southwest Louisiana economy is headed in the future? But I'm gonna change it around. I'm first going to say, where would you like to see Southwest Louisiana economy headed in the future, and do you think it will happen?
Well, I think we could be known as the clean energy capital of the nation when we get some of these projects with carbon sequestration and retooling and the clean energy effort. We're part of a coalition of chambers in the south part of the state working on clean energy projects. So I think you'll see more efforts toward that. I believe Southwest Louisiana has a good future. Again, we've got a good industrial base. We've got agriculture, we've got aviation, gaming and hospitality, medical, and we can just increase that. And I think the biggest issue that we need to deal with is poverty. We've got about an 18% poverty rate. My friend R.B. Smith always says the best poverty program is a job. So if we can get people some basic training, and thank goodness we have Suella and McNeese and the ABC school, get people into the workforce at whatever level. And, you know, you may start out as a construction helper and then move up and do other things and become a carpenter and then maybe the supervisor. And there's a path forward. In gaming and hospitality, there's a path forward within the industry. So we've got to focus on working on our poverty issues, because that's holding the whole state down. And education is the key to that. And we need more emphasis on public education, not less. And I think there is less emphasis on public education. And everybody should have the right, if they want to go to private schools or, you know, whatever, that's their business. But we've got to keep the public school system going, because that handles everybody. And I think, you know, early childhood education is number one in that, because you've got to start the children, you know, 2 and 3 years old, doing things. And if you wait till a child goes to first grade and they hadn't had any exposure, they are starting off so far behind, they'll never catch up. So early childhood education is a must, and there have been some efforts to increase funding in that area, and I hope we continue to do that.
Wow. Well, I warned everybody this would go a little late, but also I could talk even longer, but you have a hard out in order to get to this meeting. But I really appreciate you being on and talking about everything you did today. It's awesome working with you. Really appreciate it, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate working with you, and I've learned never to ask Dan a question about the economy, because he will give you about a 30-page report. But you've got the knowledge in the background, and I'm kind of a headline guy, so thank you very much for your efforts.
Well, there's that famous saying, even Truman wanted a one-handed economist, because I always say on one hand this, another hand that. I agree. I can be very long in my answers, but thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.